Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hope Chapel. I have my Bible in hand. I hope that you do. And I want to thank our online audience. First of all, thank you for continuing to follow us and just address things back to Hope Chapel or emailing me. So I just want to encourage you by saying we see you, we know you. Thank you for placing your fingerprints with us by saying we've been here, we've been following. And many of you are on another time zone. So this is live stream. So any missteps, it's totally live. And we're grateful that you're here. So let's get our Bibles in hand. Before we begin, though, let's take an opportunity just to consider something. Because I recognize many times, even when Ainsley and I, my wife and I, were youth pastors, it was very difficult to lead students for an hour and a half, share and demonstrate sacrificial love of God, tell about God, and then they go home to an environment where there is a godless environment. It was very difficult because those young people, who do we follow? Do we follow mom and dad we love and we know we need to abound by their rules, or this new thought being about Jesus? So it's so important for us, once again, to kind of carry through with those areas and remind each other. Really, sometimes people have never heard someone else say, I'm proud of you. So I want to have you just kind of take a moment here. Let's stretch our legs, if you wouldn't mind. We're going to get our worship team back in after the message. Just stand up, if you wouldn't mind. I want you to just turn to somebody. And I'm so proud of Hope Chapel, the way God's been moving in this church on Wednesday church during many of our activities, especially during our afterflow. And now our 11 o'clock, we have a number of dedicated people servicing your children in our children's chapel. So proud, so honored. But many of you, there's a number of you who've never heard somebody say, I'm proud of you. So would you turn to somebody and say, I'm proud of you. Just go ahead. You don't even know them and say, I'm proud of you. Happy Father's Day. Just let them know that. Yeah. Proud of you. We're proud of you at home as well. Thank you. Good job. Excellent. Well, I trust, dads, as you came in, Zach mentioned about party favors. And we wanted to give beer out today, but we realized, no, that so many of us are recovering. Glory to God. So we went to Dad's Root Beer. Isn't that great? Then we realized, some of you have the spillage going on. So we decided to go to whole barrels of beer. So you should have been getting yourselves barrels of Dad's Root Beer candy. And we hope that you enjoy that. But it is an enjoyable aspect. How many just enjoy root beer in its finest, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, you heavy drinkers of Dad's Root Beer. Good job. Well, let's begin today. This message is a message that I want to carry on with our Sunday series. This Sunday series is Courage to Face Our Fears. And God's been so helpful, has He not? In a variety of ways, because we're sensing and seeing the season and the times that we face. And today's message is entitled, Develop Heroes in the Next Generation. Develop Heroes in the Next Generation. Before we go, I just got to highlight something. I have family members that are in the police and service industry, and they've got some great stories. So let me just tell you a couple of them. To honor our law enforcement. We've been honoring Memorial Day. We had our helicopter out front. Dads, today, it's always appropriate. So this is in honor of so many that are serving for our safety even today. But here's a story. It's a good one. So a state trooper pulled over an automobile of a car full of elderly women, and they were going 35 miles an hour. The state trooper said, Ma'am, do you know that you're going 35 miles an hour on the superhighway? She said, I do. He goes, the sign says 35. So the state trooper chuckled and said, no, ma'am, that means highway 35. So he looks back in the back seat and he says, well, why are all your elderly friends so traumatized? They look scared. She said, oh, that's because we just got off of highway 95. a young recruit was being trained, and they were trying to say what their reaction would be. And so the question was, what would you do when you had to pull over your mother-in-law and write her out a ticket? How would you respond? And the young recruit raised his hand and said, I would call for backup right away. So let's not be too alarmed here. We're going to be taking a look at today's message, Develop Heroes in the Next Generation. It really is in preparation for times of persecution. You know, it's fascinating because we're finding that as wickedness increases, I don't know if you, sometimes people are so entrenched in an environment, they don't even see when the seasons start to shift and start to change. And they don't even understand that sometimes that really true Christians, when you see a true Christian, they're generous, they're very loving, they're moral people. And as you take a look at what's happening in other nations, and even in this nation, that the most persecuted religion is Christianity. So it's important for us right now. Father, thank you for helping us to see some things, not just for ourselves, but Lord, on this occasion, Father's Day, that we help the next generation to become courageous heroes. It's going to require that in Jesus' name. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, when he's talking about the end times, he said that iniquity would grow so much that the love of many would grow cold. You're going to start seeing those things happen. You think, man, it's just like a loveless church environment. It just seems like a loveless environment that all of a sudden you start to analyze things. When we had a chance to start our drive-through prayer in August 2015, it was surprising because when school hit that September, there was a raft of parents that were coming through asking for prayer either after they dropped their student off at school or brought their student in the back seat. And their one request was, help my child deal with bullying. That was an interesting, we thought, that's an amazing thing that's going on. You know, and children can be pretty vicious. And especially when somebody dresses not accordingly. And we have to be careful about that. But what if it just enhances because somebody's wanting to live a more pure life, want to walk in a way that does not work in the area of a party atmosphere, doesn't want to be known as heroin high? What happens to those students when something like that is challenging? Well, we're going to take a look because all of us have faced time when God doesn't meet our expectations. Those areas of unanswered prayers are so important. When we talk about persecution, there's one individual, Pastor Andrew Brunson, most recently, great story, but Pastor Brunson was held in a Turkish prison for 2 years. It was through the efforts of the Trump administration that released him. But he talks about his story. How that at his very first year in Turkey, he's teaching these new converts about the love of the Father. And then all of a sudden, he's arrested and put into prison. He recognized that those same things he was telling his students about noticing and feeling the comfort and the presence of God in opposition, he did not. He did not feel God's comfort. He did not feel God's presence. He literally cites as if it was a book of Job kind of thing, as if God allowed Satan to come on in and terrorize me and trouble me. He was dealing with claustrophobia. He was dealing with panic attacks. He was dealing with illness. He was dealing with the area of nightmares. And worst of all, he said, Satan would come in late at night and say, now where is the love of your God now? So when we start to deal with somebody that's working like that, how do you get a person that just works through and is courageous even when God is not fulfilling what we would expect? Or do we have that going on in the next generation? In his third trial, Pastor Brunson had the courage all of a sudden where he publicly declared, I forgive my enemies. And he said, blessed am I because for the sake of Jesus, many people have wronged me, persecuted me, and now I am suffering. That's pretty impressive. Have that kind of an individual to declare that. It's a great story. It's a real current reality, but there's a lot of people that are suffering. In Africa, whole villages are being decimated, leveled. In the Middle East, people are having still their head cut off, burned alive, being raped and murdered for the sake of Jesus. Now, you and I would not see that here in Orange County. Matter of fact, our whole goal might be to just enjoy the pleasurable blessings of the Lord. And if that's the case, and many of us have enjoyed great seasons of our life, glory to God, I like that. I've been rich and I've been poor. And I'll tell you, rich is better. But there's also those areas that all of a sudden, when God doesn't come through with our expectations. I want to just take a look with me on your screen and certainly in your Bible in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So it's going to be important when we take a look at that. We're dealing with something that, oh yeah, we know that is happening, but how about the next generation? How about that? Those areas when God all of a sudden starts to see in longevity called eternity would somehow allow things to happen. I'm telling you, there's going to be a multitude of people who are going to be walking through the gates of splendor singing the victor's song. Oh, man. And I'm telling you, they didn't give up. There's something about that saying, I will live for Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, it says, there was a number of them that were tortured, not accepting relief, only to look for a greater day. Ah, can we inspire that to the next generation? Because things are happening in our society. And sometimes in a close circle of community-like believers, we may be more concerned for our own safety and comfort and things we don't really, really like. So when we look here, it would be just like a good father who would permit their son to go through chemotherapy because they know at the end result will be a joyfuler day, a more happier day. When God allows certain things to happen, it's important for us and to recognize, can we help the next generation to maintain eyes of eternity and say there are a day that's coming and you want to hold true and hold courageous? How do you do that for the next generation? Because that is develop, really, heroes in the next generation. Here we go, 6 points. Number one, because this message came about when I had a couple of parents come to me and say, Pastor Paul, how do I help my family become courageous if things completely unravel? Where will my kids be? How do I get them there? Here we go. Number one, teach and practice trust that God knows more than we do. When unanswered prayers come, when God's not fitting what you think he should fit, how are you going to do that? Now, we all trust God, but the word is practice. Teach and practice trust that God knows more than we do. That's important for us. And we're dealing with areas in our own church. We've had a couple of deaths happen. Young people, one 23, the other 35. That funeral is going to be happening this Wednesday. It's important for us to recognize how does that family, how does a church relate to that? How about when senseless tragedy happens or disease? Or the rising up of persecution, even in the school system. Where will we be on that? Because I like it. God really does, in his merciful way, give us pictures about a loving father, the good shepherd. We've all seen that. Probably have some artwork at home. The Prince of Peace. So when we all of a sudden put God into our human box, have that vernacular going on, and it does not work out, that's when we're blindsided. Have you ever seen a Christian blindsided? It's usually when they walk out. They don't participate anymore. They quit. And what's worse, they stop trusting God or demonstrating practicing their trusting God. The next generation has no heroes around them. And they themselves know they ought to cut and run. We got to be careful. Got to watch out. It's important for us because when we start to see some areas, the Bible gives a few answers to why there's pain in this world. But you and I have to realize, there's going to be very little answers that will come on this earth. And we just have to say, we're going to trust the Lord, leave the results. But I'll tell you, when things hit you that you don't, it leaves many just gasping. What just happened? Why did this happen? Remember in John chapter 6, you can walk, write it down, John 6:66, that's a number you can easily read, huh? In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus is talking about, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you've got no place with me. And it tripped people out. In John 6:66, it literally says, and his disciples turned and walked no more with him. They were out. In John 6:67, Jesus turns to the little remnant of guys and he asks, are you going to leave also? And then Peter comes along in John 6:68, and he says, where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. That's pretty cool. What he's saying is there's no plan B. We have no one else to go to. And when people, when our young people walk away, where do they go? Who else has eternal life? There's just sometimes we're going to have to say, Lord, what is going on? That's why we take a look at the scripture today in Isaiah 55, verse 9, says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's just going to be some ways God works things out. It just does not make sense. Are you going to trust him? Will you practice that for the next generation to say, man, he's still going to follow God? Number two, read the whole Bible to your children. Read the whole Bible to your children, not just Bible stories. You will never understand. They'll never understand the mercies of God if we don't bring in the judgment of God, how he's going after things. If people don't know God's character and good balance, how God's holiness can bring about his hatred for sin or his ability to go after those who are defiant or disobedient, or we see his patience or his perseverance. Get the Bible out. The best time I found is 30 minutes after the meal. Let the Bible be shared and let somebody go around and read a portion of that little portion. Very important. Read the whole Bible. Get the modern translation. Get an easy translation. Get a paraphrase. Get a one-year Bible reading going on. Man, there's great Bible apps that are out there. If you say, well, we just really don't understand how to read, man, then get one of those easy readers. Let the reading of the Bible go and see. Let the heroes, the next heroes in our society, hear the Bible. So important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, our reference there says, now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Literally in the NIV it says were written down as warnings for us. So it's important that the next generation hears the whole Bible. It's amazing sitting with my son Luke and he says, Dad, we talk very candidly to our children. The oldest is 6. He's got a 5th one on the way. It's amazing what those children know. And God, by his Spirit, brings an awareness to a little child's understanding. Just want to throw that out there. God made that little child. God made you. He can communicate what he wants to communicate. Let's take a look here. Number three, help your children to see Christians as their heroes. I like that, isn't it? Children have heroes. Boys have Spider-Man. Girls have princesses. Teenagers, well, they have athletic heroes. Just take a look what kind of sport wear they've got going on or what kind of athletic element they're involved. Some people still hang on to Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift. It's just those areas where people have those particular individuals. But give them godly heroes. We're talking about develop heroes in the next generation. Give them godly heroes. Man, there are some great books about believers that have really struggled. And take a look at some of them. How many know about the life of Jim Elliot? Through the Gates of Splendor is the name of the book. That dude was amazing. There's other ones called Jesus Freaks by the Voice of the Martyrs. Get some of these books, read them. They're going to say, how did they do that? But give your children some Bible characters, some great ones. A guy named Juan Musquiz, our Foursquare president in Mexico, great guy. Worked with him a lot, sending down Don and Sandy Godwin. He's developing a whole line of little children's magazines with Bible characters, heroes, with the little wrestling masks. Everybody in Mexico loves those little wrestling masks. And he's got it going on, trying to give the next generation heroes. Here's one that's a great hero. His name's Moses. Look at the little capstone in Hebrews 11:24. Check it out. It's there in your reference. But it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction and with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward by faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. What a great story. That man is immense, and he was not without his own flaws. But God used him in a great way. He's a tremendous hero, and that section alone is incredible. How would anybody give up wealth of controlling an entire nation to follow God? He did. We have those individuals in our very midst. Get heroes to your children, because they'll follow somebody. Number four, tell them about the great battle between God and his angels and Satan and his demons. Now, it's important that we get a chance. Between the age of 8 and 11, kids start to know instantly between good and evil and about the struggle between bad men and good men. They know. Are they aware of from the beginning about the evil going on in the heavenlies? Do they know about that? Are they aware? Tell them the great battle between God, his angels, and Satan and his demons. That's important for them to know because they're living out that battle. They are living out that battle. There is not a choice anyone makes that will not choose one side of the team or the other. It's a great battle going on, and it's very real, very real. One of the battles is displayed in Revelation 12. Just how did they overcome that battle going on? Revelation 12, you read the whole chapter, but verse 11 is on your notes. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. They did not love their own lives. That's amazing, to death. They did not love their lives to the death. So when we look here, it's important. How many Christians do you know would be willing? You know, the American dream is all about for our students. Everybody wants them to finish college. Who wouldn't? Then to go ahead and get married and buy a car, buy a house, have kids. American dream. What if that doesn't happen? What would happen to that person? Would they feel they disappoint mommy or daddy? What happens if something takes place? Would they be willing to say, I'm going to give it all to Jesus? That's important. You know, in World War II, Hitler had the children of the nation swear that they would die for him. And 93% swore that they would die for Hitler, and most of them completed that. Would we be willing to do that? Would we sit down and talk to our next generation, our children, and say, sweetheart, come here. If it really came down to that, let me talk to you about maybe something that could happen. It's important for us. Number five, let's talk about eternity. We're talking about develop heroes. It's important for us when we get a chance to see how important it is. I remember so clearly my wife Ainsley led our two daughters to the Lord, usually about 5 years of age. and it happened during bedtime. Both of them were water baptized too, by the way. So cute. See them hold that little mic, and it was wonderful. They knew what they were doing. They didn't know a lot of things, but that childlike faith really carried on over. Same with Luke at 6. I have parents all the time. Should my child be baptized? I'm going to wait till it really sticks. No. It doesn't take much for a person to be saved. And I remember Emily coming up and saying, Dad, where will I go after I die? And I said, honey, because you have Jesus, you will live in heaven forever. You will never have to do that again. What if I don't have Jesus? What happens to those people? And I said, well, sweetheart, there's another place that people go, and it's very real. It's a terrible place called hell, where there's weeping and darkness and pain and fire and thirst. And worst thing about that is that a person will never leave it. So that kind of stirring within our children didn't really cause them heartache or trouble. It caused them to start to bring their friends to church. It stirred them into an awareness once again. Talk to your children about eternity. When was the last time you even brought that up? When was that area? Everybody sometimes can have those areas. I've never really, really considered turning myself away from God in my woundedness. And boy, I've had enough woundedness. I've never decided I would turn from God. That's the kind of heroes we want in the next generation. Never want to. Don't we warn all of our children, don't touch the stove, you'll get burned. Don't we tell children, don't cross the street without mom or dad, you'll be harmed. That's important. Why don't we tell our children there is an eternity? Let's talk about that. That's important. They can understand that. Every person, regardless of age, is ready to discuss. And I've always liked Proverbs 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So it's important. And I've even shared with a number of people, when they just think fear is kind of raking them, I'll tell them Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus comes along and said, don't fear him who can destroy your body, but fear him who can destroy your body and cast it into hell. Now, Jesus was pretty transparent. I didn't say that. Matthew 10, 28. Jesus said that. So let's talk eternity. I want to raise up some heroes for the next generation in case things aren't as nice as they are for you today. You have an opportunity, and so do I. And finally, number 6, well, we welcome our worship team. This is the most important. I even emphasize that of all. Ask God to help you to love him so much that no price will be too high to pay for him. That's significant. Loving God, if you've not discovered that, will cost you. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus paid the price. Well, there's going to be time that you're going to come across godless people, and they're going to be mean to you and ridicule you, and they can be even in your own household, your own family. There's a story happened in Russia that all of a sudden the Russian soldier was telling the father, you renounce your faith or I will put a bullet in your son's head right here. And just as the father was extremely just perplexed, the son yelled out, don't do it, Dad! How did that boy get to that? It's amazing when we start taking a look at our love for Jesus at any cost. That's important. That's vital. I remember going in and hearing little Luke just boo-hooing his eyes out in his bed. Luke, what's wrong? He said, Dad, I don't love God. I said, oh, he loves you, Luke. It's okay. No. And just kind of little easy, prayed with him. Then I walked away and I felt like the Lord said, go back and tell him that I'm so happy he's so honest. So I went back and I said, you know, Luke, God's so happy you're so honest. And it's okay, but be as honest as you can. He loves you. And let's ask the Father that just blaze your love that you have for your son, Jesus. Blaze it down on us too. we want to be able to do. No matter how much you love God, there's always more. Isn't that true? All of us can ask, Lord, I don't love you as much as I want to. There's too many complications that filter in. Most of them are just the abundance of your blessing. And I just get too enamored with that and celebrate that somehow I'm the favored son or the most highly adored daughter. And then the love of many grow cold. Today's a good day. There are young people that are looking for you and me to practice trusting God. It might cost us something to show our love for God. I know you'd be willing to step into that trust. Let's stand to our feet right now. I've asked the worship team, we really didn't get an enjoyable time to worship the Lord. Let's let something of His Holy Spirit help solidify things. Help solidify us, O Lord, in such a way, those things that need to be reestablished and defined. Move, O Lord, right now. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.